In Jesus' name, amen.
So mostly I'm actually just going to tell you some of my story. So it's not really a preach, it's a share, which is slightly different. And if you get the WCV here at WCV in your emails, do you get that? Do you ever click on anything? Sometimes. So if you clicked on something this week, you might have noticed that there was a picture of these little mugs. And these little mugs are kind of funny because they're squeezed. Like someone did actually make them round, and then they were squeezed on purpose by the potter. And we thought that that was kind of a neat idea. And actually, we asked our friend to do that for us when she was making them. And they were really quite formed. They were really quite formed by the potter. And so that is sort of one of the basis of our talk, of our themes this summer, which is Isaiah 68, right? Or 64, which is, you are the father, we are the clay, you are the potter, and we are formed by your hand. And so just a neat little image of a mug that was actually really formed by somebody's hand, and that we are sometimes squeezed by God in different ways. Our time is squeezed and our lives are squeezed, and in general, we are still formed and embraced. So that's kind of just the picture of that. So we're going to notice different imprints of God on our lives, and we're going to start to talk about what shaped us spiritually. What are the things that are shaping us spiritually? How are we being formed right now? And so that's sort of the theme that I've decided to take today. And why are we doing this? Why are we sharing our stories? We're really sharing our stories so that we, each of us, all of you, can think in your own life, where am I right now? And where is God in my life? And where is God shaping me and forming me? And so that's something that you can start to think of in your own story maybe after this. Like one of the things that I did over the last couple of weeks as I was thinking about today is I went and made a list of all the different kind of events in my life that had formed me and from a young age. So I remembered going to camp. Who's been to camp lately? I know this little one right here just went to camp, right? Last week? You just got home probably yesterday. Wow. Yeah, and I went to camp too when I was a girl. And I went to camp all the way until I was, I don't know how old was I, Andy, like 21, I think I kept going to camp every summer. And that was a really forming experience for me. And then one time when I was probably 15, I paddled out into the middle of a lake. And I sat in the dark in the wilderness in Algonquin Park in sort of middle Ontario, and I looked at the stars, and I was overwhelmed by creation, and I thought, and that was a really forming experience for me. And then later on, when I was like after high school, I went to Youth with a Mission, and that was a super forming experience for me. I met Andy there, actually, and that was good. And then after that, I got pregnant, and then I got married, and then I had a baby. That was a very formational year, let me tell you. And later, I became a midwife. That was a formational experience for me. We came here to Winnipeg. We moved to Winnipeg. We started coming to the Vineyard, and that was very formational for me. And then we went to Manila in 2005, and we were missionaries there for a little while, and that was a formational experience for me. And then we came home in 2006, and that's what I'm going to talk about. We've been at home here in Winnipeg for the last 12 years, and amazingly, I have been formed in many different ways, just being at home. And so I think that's what I'm going to focus on today. So I have this great image of a zucchini, but I'm going to... We just practiced with this, didn't we? Anyways, I have a garden. I love to garden. I love to grow vegetables. I have like a couple of different garden spots in my area that I garden in. One is in my front yard. I had wanted to make an edible landscape, and I had this intention of growing a garden in the front yard. So I built a big garden box, I filled it up, and it never really grew things well. It just didn't grow things well. It was maybe a little too shady. The soil, I did buy the soil, but maybe it wasn't quite the right like mix of soil. I can't really say. Maybe I didn't water it enough. I can't really tell you. But it didn't grow things well. So I ended up just taking it down, and I planted prairie flowers. Those actually grow really well in the front yard. And amazingly, we live in the prairies. But I still was longing for vegetables, right? So I went up and down the backyard or the back alleys around my place. And across the back alley, there was a yard that was open. It didn't have a fence around it, and it was full of grass, like high, like grass this high probably. And I looked at that and I thought, oh, I wonder what's in there. And I walked through, and sure enough, there were two big, huge garden boxes that someone had made, but they had let the whole thing go to just grass, like crabgrass. And so I was like, this is a great garden. This is going to be a good garden. Because there's no trees, it was all open, there was no fences that would shade it. It was perfect. So I went and left a little note on the guys in the front door of this place. And I said, can I use your garden? This is my name, this is where I live, and this is my phone number. Well, sure enough, a week later, this lovely couple from Guyana came to our door and said, is there Becky here? And I was like, yes, that's me. And I said, well, we got your message, and we would love for you to garden in our backyard. And I was like, all right, well, can I use your water? And I said, and in exchange, Elijah will mow your lawn. Which he does happily every week. Needless to say, I weeded that garden. I pulled out all the grass that were in the garden beds. And now I think it's been maybe 8 or 9 years later, I have a fantastic garden that I grow every year in those people's yard. And lovely enough, just to promote them a little bit, they also own the best roti restaurant in the city called Femina's. Huh? Yeah, and they always let us eat for free when we come as a whole family. I think they really appreciate the lawn mowing, although they really have no idea that it's a gift to us. Femina's, it's on Gary, right off of Portage. It's underneath the big spiral parkade. It used to be a Salisbury house. It has 13 seats, one is broken. Anyways. This year I planted all my garden, and I was like, oh, I have a few extra seeds. What should I do with these? So I went back to my front yard, which has the prairie garden in it with all the flowers, and I noticed some spots. And I thought, you know, I should just put some seeds in those spots and see if I can get something to grow. So I put in some zucchini seeds in those front spots, and actually, I don't know if I planted them at the same time or not, but anyways, I think I planted them around the same time, my garden over at Femina's and my garden in the front yard. And my zucchini plants at Femina's place, they're this big already, right? I don't know, do you have zucchinis? Does anyone have zucchini in their garden? Yeah, so are yours big? Mine are flowering almost. I know. So they're doing great, and I don't think I planted until June 1st. Like, honestly, it was amazing. But the little zucchini plants in the front yard, well, they have three little puny leaves on them, and they are not growing. So I'm still watering them. I put a little bit of extra compost around them. I'm trying to dig around so make a little extra room, but I realize, you know what, they're still really shady, and they're not getting a lot of sun, and the soil is still not really that great. So that is kind of my metaphor that I'm going to use for my little talk about my life for the last 12 years. So obviously to grow well and to be formed well, we need a number of different things. What do we need? We need good soil, and we need a little bit of water, and we need some sunshine, right? And so I think around, it was like around 2006 to 2007, I was going through, this is my phase one. This is a time of my life. I was going through a really pretty heavy time of questioning my faith, whether or not I even wanted to go to church, whether everything was real, how did I want to be. I think nowadays we call this deconstruction, right? There's, if you listen around on Christian circles, it's like a period of deconstruction. So I think I was pretty deep into a place of deconstruction. And actually, I was very irritable, very argumentative, and I just wasn't very at peace. And I was really just questioning everything. I also realized that I was sort of spending a lot of time with other people who were going through this thing or who had already left Christianity. And so I don't exactly know, there wasn't like a certain day of my life, but in some time in there, there was like a pretty concrete time when I realized, do I really want to do this or not? And then I thought, and then I realized that I wanted to. I actually really wanted to be a Christian. I loved the framework of what Christianity meant. And I started to remember all of the different times in my life when I had gone through, I had experienced deep grace and deep forgiveness. And when I had messed up, and then I'd gone through deep grace and deep forgiveness. And even when I hadn't messed up, I was still going through experiences of grace and forgiveness. And that was a message of Jesus that I actually really needed in my life. Like, my humanity was too great, and I was like, I was too messed up sometimes to do it alone. And I love the story of Christianity. And so I just decided, this is what I'm going to stick with. I'm going to put my feet on the ground. I'm going to be a Christian. Now, I was 35, which I think, like, I probably became a Christian first when I was 5. So here, 30 years later, I'm, like, making an intentional choice. I was going to be a Christian. And intentionally or not intentionally, over the next few years, I made another few choices to really start to cultivate sort of my soil. And I see Suhail here because Suhail and I, in I think 2008, were in a online worship course with Dan Wilt. And that was one thing that I did. I took an online worship course. And then we had a series of Vineyard theology courses that were circling through our church. One was on these big words that I sort of know what they mean now, but it was the hermeneutics of the prophetics or the apostolic or something. What was it? The hermeneutics of apocalyptics. Blah, 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 blah. I still didn't say it right. But I took that course, and that gave me some grounding and understanding a little bit of the Old Testament. I took another course. I think it was called Celtic Christianity. I did another course on Genesis, and I just decided to start feeding my mind. So I was going through now what we would call Reconstruction, and I was starting to understand my faith sort of from a theological perspective. I still need my computer, actually. From my mind, like from thinking, I started to understand my faith in a theological way. I'm not a theologian, and I didn't really study everything in ways that I always remember all of the different parts. But I tell you, at the time, it really gave me a lot of grounding, and it just reminded me of Romans 12, which was, be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you will discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable. And so I just wanted to share, like, that was a really important part of my life. And if you're going through a period of questioning or deconstruction in your faith, I made a choice in that time. I don't think it's always quite so simple for everybody, but those were some of the steps that I took to really form me for my next stage. So come 2010, and in that stage, I was working part-time. I was coming to Flatlanders for morning prayers. I had space in my time. I was reading. It was good times. Come 2010, I was just accepted into graduate school, so I was going to go and start my master's, and we said yes to a little girl, a baby, to come to our home. And at the time, if you know our story, you know that I thought it was just for 2 weeks. I was actually going to take 2 weeks off. I had 2 weeks scheduled off work so that I could garden. It was the end of April, so I could get my garden ready. And I was all ready for that to happen. And I was going to start graduate school, and I was working part-time, and I was, like, really excited. And someone called one night and said, is there any chance that you could take a baby and her, or a new mom, a 15-year-old mom and her baby, to take care of them for a little while? And we said, oh, yeah. Actually, I said, I have 2 weeks off work. I could totally do that. And anyways, 10 years later, nine, I guess it is now. The next day they came and measured our windows and the doors in our house, and the next day they moved in. And I really truly thought at that time that it was going to be for 2 weeks. And I also had no intention of stopping all my plans because it was going to be for 2 weeks. So Natalie moved in with her mom to our place. And 2 weeks later, it wasn't 2 weeks anymore. And then it just kept, they stayed. And we just, it was just how it worked out. And we embraced them. And we loved them from the minute they stepped in the door, even before, actually. Because, is Chrissy still here? Because I was just meeting with Chrissy. This is Natalie's great aunt, who was here this morning. And, pardon, is she here? Yeah, anyways, so it's just interesting connections of how things come together. But Natalie came to be part of our family 9 years ago, and that was going to be my journey. So now I become a super busy person. That's what I become, a super busy person. So I was in graduate studies. Natalie was with us. I started a full-time job because I didn't want to work nights anymore. I didn't want to be on call for a little period of time. And so I took a teaching job, but the only way I could do the teaching job was if I was working full-time. So I was working full-time, going to graduate school, and we had a baby, and I had 3 other kids. And there were weeks during those 6 or 7 years, where I had 20 different sporting events to drive to. And that is not a joke. Put your hand up, Asher. And Elijah, both of those boys over there. We had morning sports, after school sports, evening sports, and sometimes multiples of all of those things. So it was a really busy time. And so this is my busy stage. Now, what did I do to be formed in this period of time in my life? Like, that's my question. Like, how on earth was I formed in this period of time? We had some groups here at the church called the Outer Circle, and we would get into little groups of triads, groups of three. And I joined with 2 other busy moms. One was Jocelyn, and another busy mom. And we would get together. Now, honestly, we would only get together like 4 times a year for breakfast. That's on Sunday mornings. That's like all we could squeeze in. But we came to form each other. And part of what it was we, first of all, we decreased our expectations of anything formal. And we said, we're going to like send each other YouTube videos of songs that are meaningful. And when there's a crisis, we're going to text each other to pray for each other. And what else did we do? And we're just going to know that our role in this stage of parenting, with all of this stuff going on in our lives, is God, that the God is going to be in all of that for us. So we just did that. We just let in. It was like just barely enough rain to make us grow. So I had already been cultivating my soil. So I knew that I had a pretty good soil base. And I got an email last week from my friend who lives out in the south of the province, and she's a farmer, and she writes a garden update every couple of weeks. And last week she said this update: how were her beets growing, and how was her zucchini growing, and how was her garlic, and the sheep were roaming in the fields and so forth. And she said, and we've had just enough rain, just enough. And that period of time was like a just enough time. It was just enough rain. There was just enough of YouTube videos. And there was just enough of crisis text prayers. Pray for me. It was like just enough. And we really prevented ourselves from letting ourselves get into a place of guilt. Like you should be doing some certain kind of spiritual formation exercises every day. Like, those were just really outside of our realm of capacity at that time. And I think Andy says maybe busyness is pathological, and it might have been a bit pathological for me at times during those years, but there was enough rain, and I had a good soil. I had really good soil. So those were those years, and I just want to bring you on to the next thing that I did. So come 2016, I think, I wasn't coping that well anymore. Our family life was really stressful. There was a lot of very dysregulated behavior. And Natalie was starting to really show signs that she was a kid from a hard place, even though she'd been raised in our house since she was 3 months old, 3 months old. And there was so much like throwing and yelling. And I didn't swear every day, but I swore a lot. And I never even swore probably till I was in my late 30s, honestly. I didn't even think a swear word. I'm just talking about that because that was the reality of it all. But here was a time that it was like really hard, and I was like, man, I got to do something different. So Andy had just finished the School of Spiritual Direction, and I thought, okay, I got to go do that. That's what I'm going to do. Well, actually, let me just go back a little ways. In about 2015, I joined a Friday morning exercise group, and they met at 5:30. And I only went once a week, but I loved it. It was like my favorite thing, this group, this little exercise group that I went to at 5:30 on Fridays. And I learned when I was going to that one day I was late. I was late. I was like, I was only going to get there by 6 because I had to run. I didn't get up and I slept through. It was like 5:35 or 5:40. And I walked down the stairs as quiet as I could because when I go down the stairs, I had to pass Natalie's room. And it was like 5:45 or 5:50 or something like this. And I was passing her room and she woke up. And she like, not just did she wake up, but she like woke up and it was winter and she like chased me out of the house in her bare feet because we had a bit of dysregulated attachment issues. And I was like, oh my goodness, if I need to have a quiet time and get out of the house, I have to do it before 5:30. So oddly enough, from about 2016, I have been routinely getting up at 5:20 and getting out of the house. And that was just the thing that I needed to do at this stage. So I realized this and I started to actually make it a practice, not just on Friday mornings with a group, but like every day. And then in 2016, I went and found myself a spiritual director, and I thought, I need to get some practices. Like, now there's a little bit more space. Asher wasn't quite driving yet, but he could take the bus, and there was a little bit more room, and I knew, and the behaviors and the stress in our house was like, it was getting even worse, like really high. So I thought, now's the time I gotta intentionally clear out the weeds, and I have to make lots of space. And I have to I have the soil, there's a little bit of rain, and now I have to really make space. And so this became my space, this little 5:30 in the morning thing that I did. And so I started going to the spiritual director, and the first thing she said is, you need to do contemplative or centering prayer every day. You should just try. If you can do it every day, great. If you can do it a couple times a week, good. Just think about doing some centering prayer. And I was like, well, what do I do? And she said, just download this app called Centering Prayer on your phone and just turn it on. And if all you can do is 5 minutes of centering prayer, then that's all you need to do. Just do 5 minutes of centering prayer. So I got my phone out and I downloaded the app. And all it is it's a timer with a candle that has a prayer bell at the beginning and a prayer bell at the end. That's all it is. Centering prayer. And I like little symbols. So it was probably winter time, minus 30, and I was sitting in my car because it's dark out still. And I know that if I stay home, not only could Natalie wake up, but I also might get distracted by the dishes, which I know sounds odd, but this was just the thing for me. So I got into the car, I had a sleeping bag in the car, and I had this basket right here. And this is still my basket. And I have a doily, and I would put the doily down on the dashboard. I still do this. I took out a candle, put a candle in the little cup holder thing, and a little cross, just because it's a symbol. And I would light the candle, and I would turn on my prayer app, or my centering prayer app, my timer. And I would just say, God, please come and center me now. And that's all. That's all I would do. And I did that for 6 months. And it got from 5 minutes to a little bit more to a little bit more. And I was just very gracious with myself. And it slowed me down and it gave me space. So that was a formational experience. And then every month I would go, and I'm a person who likes to be, tell other people what I do. I'm one of those kind of people. Not everybody likes to do that, but I'm a person who likes to tell other people what I do, or make sure that someone asks me what I'm doing so that I can tell them what I'm doing. And so getting a spiritual director for me over the last two or three years has been super profound, because every month I go and sit with somebody and I tell them what I'm doing. And then we sit in silence sometimes together, and sometimes I get a new little idea of something, and sometimes we read a scripture, or sometimes I just ask God what I'm supposed to notice in my life right now. So the last 2 years especially has really been a time of making space. And for me, it has happened to be early in the morning, because that's the only space that I can find. But that's part of my journey. So just to recap, my last 12 years has been a time of deconstruction and reconstruction and really sowing, working my soil, and learning a lot of things, and learning about my theology and what I believed, and reading the Bible. And then I had this next 8 years of just getting a little bit of water and just managing through crazy busyness. And then into my last few years, where I have now realized that it's a space where I can make space. Now, I don't know what the next 10 years are going to hold. You know, if there's going to be another phase of busyness, or if there's going to be another phase of needing to work with my mind. I don't know. But right now, I'm in a space of making space. I'm in a space of making space. I'm in the stage of making space in my life. And just little practices have been very, very helpful in forming me. And through all of this, I can tell you that I have felt an immense, deep love of God. I have felt cared for. Through all of these different stages, there's been a lot of grace. So like if one day I decide to sleep in, that's okay. That's a good day. That's a good day too. But, and there's also been a huge amount of grace that I actually can be a person who wakes up early. Like, I know that's not for everybody, and it's certainly not for my husband. But he doesn't mind. There's grace in me getting up early and finding my space, because that's what I've needed in this stage of my life. So, my scripture for this period, when I was in the busy stage, I want to share that my scripture was, for in Christ we live and move and exist. And I was in existence. But I was existing, and now I'm in this other stage. And my prayer is this. It's Ephesians 3:16-19. I fall on my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and earth. And I pray that from God's glorious, unlimited resources, you will be empowered with inner strength through the Spirit, and Christ will be at home in your hearts, and you will trust in God, and your roots will go down deep into God's love and keep you strong. So that's a bit of my story. I have a super zucchini on my last slide, just because I wanted to tell you that I am a growing person, and God is constantly forming my spirit. But I also wanted to just encourage you to think right now, like, where in your life is what stage are you at, and how is God forming you? And if you're not quite sure if you're being formed right now, maybe it's a time to take some intentional steps to make something formational. So for me, at one stage, it was going to courses and taking classes and getting a part of like kind of classroom group things. And then the next stage was being a part of a triad and just creating some simple connections with others to keep encouraging me in my faith. And at this stage right now, I think spiritual direction and my daily practice of centering prayer has been part of what's been forming me. And so that's my encouragement to you, to think through that. And we would love to pray for you if you are at all are wondering where you're at in your spiritual journey, like what do you need to be formed? You can certainly come forward, and I would love to pray with you about that. But those are my prayers. So I'm going to read this scripture again, and I'm going to pray this over you all, okay? And just sit quietly and maybe God will speak to you about where he's forming you right now or what you need to do in your life to allow yourself to be formed by Christ right now. I pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from God's glorious, unlimited resources, you will be empowered with inner strength through the Spirit, and that Christ will be at home in your heart. Trust in God, and your roots will grow down deep into God's love and keep you strong. May you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how deeply intimate and far-reaching God's love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Amen. Thank you. So, thank you for letting me share my stories over the last little while. And I hope you can find your place with Christ this week too. And you can come to the front if you want to sit and talk about anything that maybe God's been speaking to you. So thank you.